Thank you, Andrew, for that heartfelt prayer. Today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Let's remain standing for the reading of God's holy word. Luke chapter 18 from the English Standard Version, beginning with 15. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." May God bless the reading of his holy word. Please be seated. Good morning. My name is Pastor Sandy, and I have the awesome calling to bring youths and children to the Lord. Whether they are sweet little babies, inquisitive children, awkward tweens, invincible teens, or adults who just like to stay young forever, I declare to you that the God who stretched out the heavens, founded the earth, and formed the spirit within you, the God who knew you and consecrated you before you were born, the God who chose you before the foundation of the world, the God who set you apart from birth and called you by his grace, this God loves you and he welcomes you. He loves you not because of the good deeds you have done or the trophies you have earned, not because of your superior Bible knowledge, not because of your impeccable good behavior and morality, but he loves you because God himself is love, and you are welcomed not by your merit, but by his grace. Today's scripture reminds us that Jesus welcomes the least among us. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. As parents, as a church, as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, do we help them or do we hinder them to come to Jesus, to receive the kingdom of God? Because it is with a heavy eternal consequence whether they and we will or will not enter the kingdom of God. So please pray with me. Lord, you are the King, and this is your kingdom. Show us how to approach your kingdom as eager, trusting children running into the arms of a welcoming Heavenly Father. Speak to each of us how to help and not to hinder. Lord, give us a vision to see things the way you see it. Help us to learn spiritual truths even from children. Make us willing to simply trust and obey with childlike faith. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. In the Luke preaching series, you may have already noticed that Luke repeatedly wrote about a term that was never appeared even once in the Old Testament. That is the kingdom of God. Kingdom was mentioned 45 times in the book of Luke. And more specifically, the kingdom of God was mentioned 32 times. So it is obvious what was on Luke's mind through the entire gospel. Weaving through a series of stories and parables, we saw a cast of characters. The religious Pharisees and Jewish elites who were self-righteous, keeping moral and ceremonial laws to secure their place in the kingdom of God. And the other cast of characters, those Jesus had compassion on. Those were the outcasts in society who were hopeless and powerless, including sinners, tax collectors, lepers, women, and children. One cast was sure they belonged to the kingdom of God by their own effort, but the other group was sure they did not deserve to belong if it were not by the mercy of God. Jesus told them, "The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is near." And they asked questions. What is the kingdom of God like? When will the kingdom of God come? What must I do to inherit eternal life, to enter the kingdom of God? Who will enter the kingdom of God and who will not? Here in our brief but important portion of scripture, important enough to be included in Matthew 19 as well as Mark 10 in addition to Luke 18, Jesus made a stunning statement about children. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. You see, these infants have done absolutely nothing to earn their righteousness, done nothing to receive the kingdom. They have not been baptized. They do not know the law. They do not understand the law. They have not done the law. However, Jesus did not mean that children were born righteous and perfect. We know that they were born with sin. They inherited a sinful nature and are corrupt. They also need salvation. Many people try to gain entrance into the kingdom of God through their own efforts. But Jesus taught, no, only by God's grace can you gain entrance into the kingdom of God. What better way for Jesus than to make this point, than to illustrate with using an infant, fragile, helpless, dependent, powerless, a baby. By grace, children have a special place in God's heart and in his kingdom. But as they grow up, they still need to repent for sin and confess their faith in Christ. So let's look at our text. Verse 15. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. Luke used the word brephos, meaning baby, a nursing infant, a suckling. Parents brought their newborns and toddlers to be touched by Jesus. Now every parent of faith wants their children to belong to the kingdom and will bring them closer. Why bring a child to Jesus for him to touch them? Now, Matthew's account tells us it's prayer. Matthew 19:13 says, the children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. Jesus' touch was not fist bumps, high fives, pokes, or tickle attacks. But there were hugs, tender hugs. Mark 10:16 says, he took them into his arm and blessed them, laying his hands on them. More specifically, it is a prayer of blessing. It seems already a practice among the Jews. In the Talmud, parents were taught to bring their child to a distinguished rabbi or elder on their first birthday to receive a threefold prayer of blessing. They would pray to grow famous in the law, and secondly, to be faithful in marriage. And thirdly, to be abundant in good works. This prayer of blessing was intended to bless the baby to know the law, to obey the law, and apply the law. This is a prayer for their child's hope and a future with their faith community. It was perhaps similar to our child dedication. Verse 15. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. In all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the disciples had the same reaction. They rebuked the parents for surrounding Jesus with little babies. But only Mark tells us how Jesus responded, that Jesus was indignant, angry, irritated, upset with the disciples. Now, we don't know exactly what the disciples saw and what they said. Perhaps they thought, Oh no, it's a baby parade. Don't trouble the master. Don't you know that Jesus is a busy man? He doesn't have time for kids. These disciples spent 2 years with Jesus by his side. They shared meals and they spent time with him, but they didn't quite capture his heart for the least. Jesus proves to resonate from Psalm 127 that children are a gift from the Lord. So he welcomed them. Verse 16, but Jesus called them, the parents, to him, saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, do not forbid them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Let the children come and do not hinder them. The souls of children are precious to God, and even young kids are able to receive his grace. Jesus welcomes them, even the most challenging kids we have. Now, little Johnny sat with his parents in the big service as the pastor preached and gave an altar call. Sensing a tug from the Holy Spirit, little 5-year-old Johnny walked down the aisle to respond at the end of service. The pastor was doubtful whether little Johnny was even old enough to understand salvation. So he promptly led him to his office to ask him some theological questions. And the more the pastor asked him, the more confused poor little Johnny became. Exasperated, Johnny asked his pastor, Pastor, you said that if I would come and ask Jesus to save me, he would. Did you really mean it? You see, sometimes we just need to stop interrogating and intimidating little Johnnies and just take him seriously by helping him to invite the Lord Jesus to be his Savior. Will I help them or will I hinder them? The children and youths have really schooled me so much about the Lord. And sometimes as adults, we can lose sight of the simple truths as we get older and more complex. God can remind us through a child when we least expect it. A seminarian came from Taiwan with his young family to study in the United States. And then he nearly drowned while swimming at a church retreat. Now his young wife and his preschool daughter went to the ICU to be with him. He was in critical condition, and we fervently prayed for his life. His 3-year-old daughter thought that her daddy was just sleeping. She didn't realize something was wrong until she saw her mommy's tears and her fear. She didn't know what to do, so she sat close with her mom. And then she had an idea. She hugged her daddy and she started singing the song that she learned at preschool church. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. And those words that she sang were so powerful and overwhelmed her mommy with new hope, faith, and courage. It helped her to trust God to bring him back to life. This little girl sang and spoke some deep spiritual truth that her God was great and mighty. Even this preschooler had confidence in a great God with the power to heal. When her mom shared this testimony, the faith of this little girl was contagious that it filled the entire church with confidence in the Lord. If a child at any age has an interest to come to the Lord Jesus, encourage that. Whenever a child responds to the Holy Spirit to make a commitment, whether it's the first time, the second time, or the 10th time, celebrate that. If they have a faith question, answer that. When they wrestle with doubts, listen and validate that. Search for truth together and pray for every child's salvation. The preacher Charles Spurgeon gave us this quote: "Before a child reaches 7, teach him all the way to heaven. And better still, the work will thrive if he learns before he's 5. So bring the children to Jesus early. Bring the children to Jesus daily. If children begin reciting scripture and praying like a warrior from a formative age, they can fearlessly do that for a lifetime. If tweens and teens begin bringing friends to Christ, no, not just bringing them to church, but bringing them into a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus, from a tender age, they can fearlessly evangelize for a lifetime. Will we help them, or will we hinder them? We have to model and teach by example. Years ago, God stretched my faith and my imagination how God wants to use teenagers. I got a 24-hour notice that my youth retreat speaker could not stay for the rest of the retreat, and he needed to rush back to his own church to preach due to an emergency. Someone had passed away, and it was right for him to go back to his church. He was the rising young preacher in a black megachurch. Prayerfully, my speaker suggested to me, "In our black churches, God uses our young people to preach when they are kids." I was 8 when I first started preaching. Is it possible that the Lord would like to speak through your youths? And I'll tell you, in my heart, that was terrifying. "God, are you serious?" And then after debriefing with my staff and my student leaders, we all took some time to pray and to wait. And to my surprise, 3 of our teens stood up and volunteered to speak to their peers. Each of them said to me, "I have a message from the Lord to share." So I coached them each for an hour, and God helped them to do an amazing job at this retreat. And then I noticed that one of them was especially anointed. I couldn't wait to go back to church to share this with my senior pastor. What God had taught us at this retreat, that God was breaking new ground. And then a few weeks later, with my pastor's blessing, I asked this 16-year-old to preach at the main combined adult worship. He studied and drafted up his sermon, and I coached him for a few hours. And his sermon was truly his own words. And wow, the church was surprised by God and deeply moved how one of our own kids delivered God's word to the whole church. And then 6 years later, it happened again with another young man. Both of these young guys are grown men of God today. Each of them have continued to faithfully preach, teach, and train others. They are both ordained today and serving in parachurch ministries. and wouldn't it be cool if it happened here? Honestly, we would prefer not to have speaker cancellations and surprises that makes leaders lose sleep. We would prefer smooth sailing and perfectly executed plans. But we would have missed God's blessing and the vision. We would have never learned this lesson from the Lord, or for they to discover their sense of calling at a young age, had it not been that we lost our retreat speaker. God had a different, unexpected detour in his sovereignty, and we had to be obedient and trust him where he was leading us in uncharted territory. Will we empower, equip, and bless the children to lead something really important here? Will we help them, or will we hinder them? What does it mean to hinder them? Well, Eugene Peterson, in his contemporary translation of the Bible, known as The Message, he rendered it as, "Don't get between them and me." If God has a special role for the next generation to lead, which I believe he does, it is time for us to get out of the way. Don't get in the way between your kids and God. A parent may unintentionally hinder their children to come to Jesus. Some of these are tricky, so let me point out just three hindrances. Number one, a parent's unbelief. It is not a spiritually healthy home when someone mocks Christians as fools and casts doubt on the authority of the Bible. An adult who fiercely debates with human philosophy, skepticism, and obscure arguments can overpower their child to go silent. I've seen a few youths deterred from going through with baptism or from joining a mission team because of their parents. Until these kids became young adults, they became articulate to stand up for their own faith. This can be a big hindrance. A second kind of hindrance that parents can do towards children. A parent's belief, but living a weaker version of faith. A parent might be baptized, rarely reads the Bible, rarely goes to church, and in reality lives like a practical atheist. Usually busyness is cited as the reason for reduced spiritual effort. God has no real importance. Faith is empty or shallow. This is a kind of gospel vaccination. The child is vaccinated with a weaker virus, a weaker version of faith, and it's much harder for the child to experience the power of the gospel, of true faith, of the real thing. This kind of hindrance is very tricky, and it's most dangerous. A third hindrance, parents' poor theology. According to the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, the most popular American worldview in the year 2021 has fallen default to moralistic therapeutic deism. It is about being good and nice people, since all good people go to heaven. That's moralistic. That Jesus exists to make us feel better and to solve our problems. That's therapeutic. And that God is not too involved otherwise in our lives. That's deism. George Barna calls this counterfeit Christianity. Will you help instead to beef up your theology at home by studying systematic theology as a norm, or perhaps learn a simple catechism at the family dining table? Will you help by emphasizing that the gospel is by being saved by grace alone and not by works? These three hindrances are not only about parents. All of us can struggle with these hindrances. But let's help the children, not just our own children, but all the kids who are observing our example by being real, embracing a genuine faith, living a real Christian life together with a robust version of faith, with deep, joyful, and active Christian living, coupled with solid biblical theology that celebrates grace. For such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. What does it mean, like a child? What might that look like? Here are three childlike characteristics to recapture. Enthusiastic joy or eagerness. Enthusiastic joy or eagerness. That is absolutely contagious. Let me describe to you what that's like. Say I go in to teach a group of children. I take out of my backpack a package of Oreos. And I tell the kids, you know, I was just at the store, and near the checkout aisle, there was a pile of Oreos. And so I thought I would pick up one and share it with you. I have some Oreos today. Would you like some? Open the package, put out my hand, and before you know it, kids are jumping up out of their seats, coming up and grabbing an Oreo. They'll even step over another kid to come with to get an Oreo with a big smile on their face. That enthusiasm. Take it to a teen level. It's like Gracie Ma coming in with a box of bubble tea and saying, "Hey guys, I got bubble tea." Instant happiness. They all jump up and grab a bubble tea. Take it to an adult level. During refreshment time, which we cannot have yet, it's announced, "Auntie Ruby has brought her tea eggs." We see adults running around searching for these tea eggs. Instant happiness. Instant enthusiasm and joy. It's contagious, but it's not only about food and drinks. It's the bright eyes and happy smiles when they go into VBS. It's the excitement of an Easter egg hunt where kids are running to snatch up as much as possible. It's like coming to Awana and playing a fast and furious fun game. And it's looking forward to going to church and being with their friends. This is what I'm used to when I see kids. A second characteristic is the sense of wonder, a sense of wonder versus the adult version, that burdened, tired, weary, cynical, routine look. A sense of wonder. It's a child coming before God and saying, "Wow, isn't God amazing?" And discovering him afresh. Discovering how your devotional that you had read that day suddenly helped you through a crisis at that same day. How did God know I was going to face that? Isn't that amazing? Or it's watching a child in worship and tears start to flow down their face because the words, the praise song, was touching them so deeply. It's seeing God answer a prayer, that sense of wonder. And somehow when we get older, we start to lose that wonderful sense of wonder. A third childlike characteristic. Children have simple trust, and they have such confidence in God. It's uncomplicated. It's totally dependent on a trustworthy God. They have the assurance that they will be taken care of. Their parents have done a good job. God has provided for them. They have no worries and cares in the world. They have the certainty of God's love, the certainty of forgiveness. It would not be withheld from them. And it's easier when you're a child to obey and trust God and your parents more than you trust yourself. Whether childlike means being young again, alive, joyful, can't wait to discover how awesome God is and trust the Lord completely. It's nothing like the adult tendency of growing tired and weary from life, carrying burdens and responsibilities with constant problem solving, with regrets, relying on ourselves more than we rely on God. Come back to Jesus with enthusiastic joy, a sense of wonder, simple trust, and confidence in God. As God continues to build his kingdom in 2022, this is his perspective from above. God sees our world is very broken. And Jesus told us about that in the signs in Matthew 24. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise up against nations, kingdoms against kingdom, famines and earthquakes, persecution and death. Many will turn away from their faith. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many. There will be an increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold. Isn't this what we are seeing around the world? And then it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. The kingdom of God is near. God also sees the global children, not just children of central New Jersey. Let the global children come and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. The Lord can see that many of the most unreached regions in the world are age 14 and below. The youngest countries in the world are in the 1040 window, mostly in Africa. There are countries where 40 to 50% of their national population are children. In Niger, 50.1% are 14 and below. In Mali, 47.5%. In Chad, 46.6%. In Uganda, 46.6%. Somalia, 45.8%. There is only one non-African country in this list, and that is Afghanistan, with 43.2% are age 14 and below. This means that when we do mission work, we are doing children's ministry and youth ministry in the unreached people's groups in the world. But the children in these countries are also vulnerable. They're unprotected. They are under-resourced. They are living in poverty. They are living as orphans. They're surviving war and terrorism, and they have lack of food, water, medicine, homes, and safety. Many have lost their parents and can only turn to a heavenly father. We pray for the day that RCCC can reignite and send out mission teams and gospel workers again to many places. Until then, I submit to you, consider serving alongside our local missions in Edison, Patterson, and Monzie. Consider getting a lot of practice now for the work out there by doing the work in here, by serving with our youth and children's ministries. Please do not say no to Auntie Katrina when she invites you to serve with VBS. Do not say no to Auntie Shuli when she invites you to serve with the preschool, with the children's ministry and Awana. Do not say no to Brittany and Uncle Franklin when they need more counselors. Please do not say no to Uncle Tony when he invites you to the youth retreat. Will you help or will you hinder? 10 years ago, the Lord led me to begin partnering in a mission work reaching Muslims in Central Asia. And our church, RCCC, also supports the same mission work there. Even had sent out a faithful midterm worker and quite a few STM teams. In the following spring, after my initial trip, the Boston Marathon bombing took place, killing 3 innocent bystanders, several officers, and maiming and injuring hundreds. The whole city was terrified in a lockdown during the manhunt. And at the end of this spectacular law enforcement manhunt, they captured 2 brothers who were responsible. And to my amazement, to discover that these radical terrorists had grown up in the same town, down the same neighborhood, on the same street where I had served in Kyrgyzstan. When I work with these Muslim children in Central Asia, I pray for them to know Jesus Christ loves them. I pray for every child to grow up never to harbor hatred towards Christians and particularly Americans. I pray that they will grow up with lasting memories of God's mercy and love, of kind, loving, and generous Christians. I pray they would embrace the gospel. I pray for them to have a vibrant relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord. For if these terrorists had experienced God's love when they were growing up 20 years ago, perhaps this bombing tragedy would never have happened. In 9 days from today, Joyce Lam and I are departing for Central Asia for a brief short-term mission to reestablish boots on the ground. The mission founder, Elder C.S. Yang, had a vision to build Christian schools in a Muslim country for the sake of the gospel, and no short of a miracle when God made it a reality. We will serve alongside other Christian workers to minister to some disabled children and orphans who have been impacted by poverty, alcoholism, abandonment, and limited resource. We hope to bring God's love and good news to the people in this Muslim country. And we invite you to sign up for our prayer team, and receive emails updates during our trip. Let us pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, we stand in the gap to help the children to come to you. We pray that we may love them and see them the way you do. Return to us a likeness of a child with enthusiastic joy, with a sense of wonder, with simple trust and confidence in you. Life is hard. The world is broken. But God is good, and his grace is sufficient. Surprise us, Lord. Take these children of ours. Take these youths for your glory. And use them in beautiful ways more than we can ask or imagine. May they delight in your presence. May they be faithful to do their part and help build up the kingdom of God. And may we not get in the way, but help them to fully trust you. In the name of Jesus, mighty name, we pray. Amen.